Chaisara. So Chaisara tells us the story of Sora being Nifter. It goes through the litany of Avraham Avinu dealing with the scoundrel Ephron and buying Moras HaMachpela. Then we have the double story of Eliezer, Eved Avram, going and getting Rivka to agree to marry Yitzchak, and that's the bulk of the Torah, the Parsha.
Even though it doesn't say the word Eliezer in the entire story.
Eved Avram, right. Okay. So, some of the Torah on it. The first pasuk, right? Sarah lived 127 years. Sarah's lifetime was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. Rashi says the strange construction of the pasuk and the redundant comment, the years of, for each number. He says they were all equal in terms of goodness. She lived a life that was perfect, that was good, from the first moment to the very end. And my friend says, what does this mean, that all her years were equally good? He says, let's look at her life. For 90 years, she was barren. In addition, the Medrash calculates that most of her cousins gave birth at 8 years old. She had to put up with 82 years of being barren. Moreover, right, when Avram and she did not have children, and Paro gave her his daughter Hagar as a maid, she introduced her into the marriage as a co-wife. And the co-wife is called Sora, right? Which means you got trouble. Because Rabbi Fran says that's all it is. You got a co-wife, you got Soros. The tension, he says, between co-wives is stronger than sibling rivalry. And Yishmael in the household, we're told the story that one day Yishmael decides he's going to play bow and arrow and he's going to use Yitzchak as his target. And Sarah was really afraid he would kill him. And therefore, she says to Avraham Avinu, I saw Yishmael mitzachek, Goresh es ha'ama vespana, chase out this woman and this child, because he cannot inherit im b'ni im Yitzchak with my son Yitzchak. And it says she also sees Yishmael before, I guess, even he tried to kill Yitzchak. He tried to teach him the ways, like, be like your big brother. And she did, you know, you can imagine what Agmas Nefesh, that caused her.
He was a bad influence, and she saw it.
Yeah. He was a para-Adam, as the rabbi pointed out in his Shir on Yishmael. His essence was para, a Vildachaya. He was a living Vildachaya as a man, but he remained the Vildachaya, presumably up to the time he did tshuva later on in life. It says, as well, she and Avram shared many misyonos, many of the trials, the tests. She went with him from her birthplace, right, and went on to new countries. She went to Egypt. Paro captured her, wanted to rape her. Avimelech captured her, wanted to rape her, right? I mean, how are these good? Maybe, Rabbi Friend says, later on in life, we could say, you know, maybe she had a bit of a golden age later on when Yishmael is gone, and she sees how wonderful her son Yitzchak is growing. But we would assume, as outsiders, that she experienced considerable trauma in life. So he says, I want to try to understand the Rashi, that all the years were good. And he said, he quotes the Tolna Rebbe of Yerushalayim, who quotes, he says, a medrash from Parshas Emor. It says, Yikach lachem pri etz hadar, take the fruit of the beautiful tree, the esrog. And the medrash says, hador refers to Sarah. It says, Avram and Sarah were elderly, and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu made her beautiful, b'seva toiva, with elderly beauty. He calls the Mahar Zu, a Meforish on the Medrash, says, the Pasuk in Vayeroi seems very inappropriate link to an Esrog, right? Avram and Sarah were old, well in years, the course of women had ceased. Of all the psukim in the Torah, this is the pasuk that they're using to prove that Sarah was very beautiful compared to the gorgeous Esrog, the example of beauty of the fruits. The pasuk itself, he says, alludes to the fact that there's no question Sarah had challenges, difficult challenges. So how is she like an Esrog? He says, the Tolna Rebbe quotes a teaching of the former Slonim Rebbe. He says, the Gemara teaches that it's appropriate to make a bracha over good things. And also, unfortunately, we know that at a Levaya, we have to say the bracha Baruch, right? Dayan Emes. This is one of the most difficult things in life, to accept that which we objectively consider as a bad occurrence with the good. Not only must we accept, he says, things that we determine to be bad, things which we would say objectively we cannot see goodness in, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not only that, I want you to make a bracha. I want you to mekadesh my name with this. He says, it's a level to try to accept the fact that the same way the good times came from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, all those times we wish we didn't have to experience also are something we've got to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu with. He says, he quotes Tehillim, it says, how can I repay Hashem for all the kindness he gave me? I will raise a cup of salvations in the name of, and the name Hashem I will invoke. And later on, David HaMelech says, the pains of death encircled me. The confines of the grave found me, trouble and sorrow. And he says, then I would invoke the name of Hashem. Shem Hashem Ekra, calling on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, whether we raise the cup of salvation or we unfortunately have trouble and sorrow. The Tolna Rebbe says, we can see something interesting. The pasuk regarding raising the cup of salvation and saying Rabbeinu Shel Olam's name is one pasuk. When a person realizes salvation, you must immediately make a l'chaim. However, when it comes to situations that we wish wouldn't happen, it says, troubles and sorrow I will find. He says, then the words, and I will invoke Hashem's name, is in the next pasuk. There's a break. There's not total equality between the requirements to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Tov, for good, and the requirement to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the instances of what we call bad. When the good occurs, we can obviously readily say Baruch Hashem. However, when times are bad, we also have to say Baruch Hashem. But I guess the pause indicates it's not supposed to be easy. And the fact that it's not easy, there's no avla. We haven't done anything wrong. It's difficult to demand this type of commitment from people. However, he says, there were people in existence who could reach the level that all is the Yad Hashem, that the objective good-bad had no effect on the, what I would say, their recognition of the Yad Hashem, of the hand of Hashem. He quotes chapter Yud Aleph 11 in Yeshaya, talking about Mashiach coming. A staff will emerge from the stump of Yishai, David's father. A shoot will sprout from his roots. At the next pasuk, it says, you will say on that day, I thank you, Hashem, for you were angry with me. He says, what is on that day? It refers to the time after Mashiach comes. The Gula will come, and we will look back at the 2,000 or more years of exile. We'll see the Romans murdering Yidden at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see the Spanish Inquisition. We'll see the pogroms in 5408, 5409. Tchumlyeki in the pogroms, the Cossacks, the Holocausts, the disgusting Yishmaelim and Hamas. Klal Yisroel will look back on that day when Mashiach's here and will say, somehow I thank you, Hashem, because you were angry with me. He says, such a spiritual awareness is possible, that somehow with, I guess, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as they say, opening our eyes wider and maybe beginning to understand what it was Hashem was doing, that we can see that this was all for the best. As we say, in the future there'll be no bracha dayana emet, it'll all be hatovi emetiv. The Shlomo Rebbe says, Sora was like the Esrog. Sora had a life that was actually equally good. In other words, she was able to have this post-Moshiach view of life. Her mind and her being was so into emuna, bitachon, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were kula shavim. Everything that happened, she knew was a reflection of God's ratzon. She was on that high level. And that's why Mefarshim says she was perfect. When we say Eishes Chayil on Friday nights, we're told This was the hesped, the eulogy that Avram Avinu wrote for Sarah. When Avram said, far beyond pearls is her value, the Medrash says, she waited 90 years for a baby. Avram said, this is the type of woman my wife was. She never had a taina to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I have to wait 90 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. I don't have a problem. Her entire life was walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In her life, all she knew was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she was able to give a bracha to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for everything that was encountered. We know that the esrog supposedly is the only tree where the taste of the tree bark and the fruit are the same. I don't know anybody who's tasted the bark, but the bark of the esrog tree tastes.
They say in Gan Eden, all the trees.
Right. It says in Gan Eden that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the trees to have
like
their
fruit.
Bark to taste like the fruit, and the trees refused. Like, explain that. That's one of the tough ones. I can't give you an answer. How do trees say to God, "Oh, you're creating me, but now I'm going to do my own thing"? All right. The Slumina Revi says, if a person tries to take a bark from an esrog tree, it will not taste as good as a ripe esrog. Nevertheless, he says, you will be able to discern, he says, some flavor of an esrog. Though the wood is hard, brittle, it has a flavor reminiscent of the esrog and how it will grow and taste when it's fully grown. Sarah was like the esrog because she too could sense the connection between the tree, which he calls the process, and the fruit, the result. Whatever Sarah experienced, she was able to rise about. Sarah was able to say to people, I think there's a story of one of the Gedolim, right? Had no teeth or anything. And people said, a Rebbe sent someone to see, like, how do you deal with difficult life? And he says, what are you talking about, difficult life? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taking care of me. He says, you got no teeth. You're hobbling. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. All right. These are people, obviously, on a higher madriga. There were people who were capable of looking at difficulties and life that others would be embittered and able to say, no, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's act and it's taif, it's good. We may not think that there are people like this any longer in our day, Raffran says. But he says, recently, he says, I'll tell you a story. I know a nice fellow, and last week he married off his son. On the third day of Sheva Brachas, the chassan was nifter. He died. He says, I can't believe this happened. And he said, while I've met him, I'm not close to him. This is the kind of phone call that when you're required to make it, you say to yourself, are there any words that I can possibly say? I said to Rav Shmuel, I said, Rav Shmuel, you know, it's Yisachar friend, Vos ken ich zugen, what could I possibly say? I've been thinking all week, and I'm stymied. He said, Rabbi Yisachar, this is all part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's puzzle. When Mashiach comes, we're all going to understand what happened here. I can accept this as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine plan. I can't understand it. I'm not even going to try to understand it. But I have emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and he did it. I said, you've given me more chizuk, my friend says, than many, many people and many, many svarim. Rashi, he says, is saying, in finality, Sarah's life was totally toiv, totally good. Her level of holiness, her spirituality, the way she rose, allowed her to view it in that fashion. Chazal says, people should ask themselves, when will my acts rise to the level of my ancestors? Because we have to strive to go high. And most of us will consider it totally unattainable. I think, as he says, most people will say, halavai, I could reach the level of Kedusha my Bubba had when I knew her, when I was growing up. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us, and the Torah is telling us, there were people who walked this world. And there are still, he says, I now have learned, there are still people who can look at every aspect of life, even with what we would call severe suffering, severe misfortune, and say, kulay taiv, they were all good. Another pshat that I heard last week, and I may have said it, about that Avram Avinu was also considered, quote, Lula, an Esrig, because, right, it's called pre-eighth Hadar, right? Beautiful Hadar, but you can read the word Hadar like Hador, someone who lived. And he says, the Esrig tree is the only tree where you can leave fruit on it for up to 3 years. Right? After it's ripened, it can still stay another couple years. It can stay there. It has consistency. He says that was the mark of Avram Avinu. He was consistent in all that he did. Whatever he did, he had the same awareness that his amazing wife Sarah had. It was all from Hashem. We're told, right, that when Yekeid occurred, it says Avraham didn't see anything for 3 days. Only on day three did he see the mountain, he and Yitzchak. Why day three? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to think for 3 days, to play, right, what you would say, to self-criticize, to go through in his mind. It should not be an impetuous act. It should be the way he lived, totally consistent. And we can in some way see the greatness of our avos and imos observing Avram and Sarah with their tremendous level of emuna. And we're told that they were the ones who instilled in our DNA the ability to have emunah. Okay.